is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Light up that phone line, Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. This show is for you. And we want to hear your thoughts on what the heck happened last week as Iowa State beat BYU 45-13. We'd love to hear from you as well regarding what gives you hope for the rest of the season and for next year that things can look better for BYU football. 801-575-8255. We'll be here for the next hour taking your calls, breaking things down with BYU and Iowa State, and we do that like we do every single week.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Our takeaways segment here in Cougar Nation. But again, load up the phone lines, 801-575-8255. What gives you hope, Cougar Nation, for this BYU football team? Only two games left. Cougars sit at 5-5 on the year after they suffered their third consecutive loss of the season, falling to Iowa State 45-13 in Provo in a game that BYU just got handled, manhandled. Even Kalani Sitake agreed with that assessment from one of the media members in the post game. It was a tough night for BYU. Takeaway number one, though, Matt, BYU's defense did everything that it could. Well, BYU just completely struggled, and their brand is taking a hit with these blowout losses.
It really is, because you look at the record right now, 5-5. I don't think any sane BYU fan would say 5-5. That's, you know, that's kind of on par with what we were expecting. The problem is the manner in which you're 5-5. You have a narrow win against Sam Houston. You have a comeback win at Arkansas. And then you have this string of losses where you're not even competitive. That's the issue. And that's why the brand is taking a hit, because you don't look at this 5-5 and say, wow, they're fighting, they're scratching, they're clawing, they're on the door, and a mistake here or a big play there. No, that's not the case. It is, for three consecutive weeks, you have gotten beaten to a bloody pulp. And if it wasn't for Texas Tech having a true freshman quarterback and just being, you know, completely devastated with injuries when they played BYU, they might be out of bowl eligibility already. So it's just the way that they're playing, not so much the record.
Despite the brand taking a hit, Kalani Sitake still believes that the culture is still thriving.
Culture on the team is still thriving. I believe that the culture is still thriving because guys aren't pointing fingers. Guys are still unified. With a lot of outside noise, guys are still connected and still love their role as a team.
It's tough times right now for this BYU football team and that brand for BYU. I feel like these type of losses hurt more than just a L in the loss column. I think it goes into, suddenly, do you not belong in the Big 12? Is this way too big of a stage for BYU? I think naturally the thought was, you level up to Power 5 play, BYU football, a successful winning program over the last five decades, averaging 8 wins a year. One of the winningest programs in college football over the last 50 years, they're going to naturally level up. And the stage is maybe a little bit too big. The talent gap is far wider than any of us expected.
Here's what Jake Retzlaff, BYU starting quarterback against Texas Tech, had to say about that nasty loss at home.
Getting beat like that at home is not fun in any way whatsoever, and we want to perform well, especially in Lavelle. And so we're going to be really hungry this week. And I know a lot of guys will feel the same way I do, and we'll attack practice, you know, ready to go perform a lot better next Saturday.
Speaking of Jake Retzlaff, let's go into our next takeaway. Quarterback situation heading into Oklahoma, it's still up for grabs now because Jake Retzlaff, he struggled against Iowa State.
He wasn't the same after the first interception. And that interception, look, he, against West Virginia, had a little moxie to him, and I liked it. You were making plays, you're slinging it around, different arm angles, and it worked against West Virginia a little bit, right? I mean, he still completed only 50% of his passes against the Mountaineers, but there weren't the turnovers. But for the first play of the game to be an interception deep in your own territory, and the worst part about that pick is you go back and watch it, Mitch, Isaac Rex is wide open. You dump it off to Isaac Rex underneath, you get 7 or 8 yards, and you're at second and two, and the ball is rolling. Instead, you go for this really high-level pass that has to be perfectly placed over the linebacker, but underneath the safety. He doesn't execute. It's a pick. And then I just felt like, man, he didn't trust himself after that. There were a lot of times where he could have dumped it off in the flat. He would hold on to the ball, run around, try to make something happen. He really struggled against Iowa State, and I feel like it does open the door a little bit, where if he had played well, you would say, okay, kind of what the Minnesota Vikings are doing with Joshua Dobbs, right? Jaren Hall has that good first drive. He gets banged up. Dobbs comes in, wins that game at Atlanta. Then yesterday, he beats the Saints, and now the Vikings are like, he's the guy. He's the man. That was on the table for Jake Retzlaff if he had played well against Iowa State. Now, I think you would go back to Keaton once he's right.
No question. He struggled mightily. I mean, to the point where you're saying, does Parker Kingston need to be QB? Well, I'm kidding. But still, Retzlaff struggled. One thing I will say that was a positive from Retzlaff in that game against Iowa State, he's a better runner than I think any of us would have expected.
Yeah.
I would say he's maybe a little bit faster than Zach Wilson was as a runner. I was very impressed with Jake from that standpoint. 17 carries, 64 yards. But you saw that inexperience where he didn't go through his reads. He was just quick to run at a moment's notice. Credit Iowa State secondary, one of the best in the Big 12. They locked down BYU's receivers. But there were times when Chase Roberts was open and Retzlaff just didn't see him. And he took off instead or was slipping on the field. Goodness gracious,
we could get into
all of that.
Jeez,
but
that's a takeaway.
That's for another day. Another takeaway, can this team, Matt, avoid an early deficit? It seems like every game, BYU looks up, they blink, oh, it's 10-0, oh, it's 14-0. It was 10-0 before they could even gather themselves against the Cyclones.
Self-inflicted wounds, too. Both of the early turnovers, they didn't need to happen. That ball did not need to be thrown, and again, look, that's going to be something that Jake Retzlaff learns from. He's a really inexperienced quarterback. We got to remember that. You already brought up Zach Wilson. His second career start was pretty bad too, right? He had that nice debut against Hawaii back in 2018, and then the next week, a dud. So these inexperienced quarterbacks, it's a roller coaster in college football. That is to be expected a little bit. The second turnover, I think, is getting really frustrating. I commend Keelan Marion, Mitch, for wanting to be a home run threat at kick returner. But you got to understand the rules of college football. It's a free pass to the 25-yard line. If the ball is kicked anywhere near the goal line, just take the 25 yards. If it's underkicked, yeah, make something of it. Let's see what happens. But over and over and over again, Keelan Marion has chances to bring that ball out, and it's just more times than not, it's a negative play.
It is, and the thing is that BYU has just struggled. This has been their DNA the whole year. You think about the Arkansas win, 14-0 down. They just always dig themselves in these holes. At some point, build up your own lead. The problem now is that BYU is staring down two games against teams that were in the most recent top 25 poll in Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. That's what made the Iowa State game so discouraging. And I felt for Cougar Nation, they showed up. 60,000-plus fans on a cold, freezing night, late-night game. I didn't realize this, but the first 8 p.m. or later kick at home since November of 2016 for a November home game, BYU fans showed up. They had nothing to cheer about. It was just a beatdown. And again, Kalani Sitake agreed with the sentiment. They just simply got manhandled on the line, and BYU was just a mess that whole game.
We'll figure it out. I think manhandled is the right statement.
It is. BYU was... They lost 45-13 to Iowa State. They fall to 5-5 on the season, and it just feels like there's so many questions rather than answers. And that's unfortunate as you head into Game 11 this week.
Can I add a bonus takeaway really quickly?
Yes.
The third down on both sides of the ball is, if it's not the biggest issue, it's one of the biggest issues, because this team, they only picked up one first down on a third down conversion all night. And then at one point in the second quarter, Mitch, Iowa State had ripped off six consecutive third down conversions. Here's what the head ball coach Kalani Sitake had to say about that pivotal down.
You guys heard me talk about this. The third downs have been an issue for us on defense and on offense. And so 1-for-11 on third downs is not good enough. And 1-for-4 on fourth downs, horrible. So it's not good enough. Football, defensively, it's 8-for-14. But I believe they were 6-for-8 to begin the game.
Ugh, that is not good. I will say this too, Mitch. I think that was one of Kalani's better post games. I felt like there was more honesty there afterwards. You could feel the frustration, and I appreciated that. It didn't take away the sting of the loss, but it was nice to hear him use words like horrible, manhandled, calling it like it was, because sometimes you get the, we're going to fix it, we're going to make it better. Just, hey, let's be real with us, and let's move forward.
I think Cougar Nation was a little bit stunned that he was so candid about the defense. We'll get to them a little bit later, but yeah, you want honesty. Like, you want a coach to just be honest and be real with you, and I think you're right. I think Kalani was real with the current situation. He was ticked in the halftime that you heard here on KSL News Radio when he was talking to Mitchell Jurgensen going to the halftime locker room. He called it, his words, bull crap, how they were playing. And it was just, there's a lot of frustration happening. And you hope that BYU can find ways to get some answers soon, because for it to go a whole, basically more than a month, since the bye week in early October, BYU has been a mess of a team. If they didn't face a true freshman third-string quarterback at Texas Tech, they'd be winless since the bye week.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I know that they won that game against Texas Tech, but still, that was a byproduct of a true freshman quarterback coughing up the football left and right, and BYU capitalized. Otherwise, it's been a whole lot of nothing from BYU in all three phases, and we'll continue to get to it and discuss this team. And what gives you hope, Cougar Nation? Tell us. Please, help us. We're trying to get some answers, too. We're here for you. 801-575-8255. It's Cougar Nation, and it's powered by KSL Sports.